Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Happy, happy, happy Sunday. This is BT Rector, and you are listening to the Love Unleashed radio show. Today's radio show is going to be phenomenal. It is, as the title of the show, it's all about love. And when you listen to this show and the guest that is going to be with us this afternoon, this evening, we're really talking about love, and we're going deep in depth about, you know, what God's intent for us is as we learn to love on ourselves and learn how to love in the world, but most importantly, learn how to love God. And if we don't have love in our hearts to love God, then definitely there is no room to love anybody or anything else. And before we move forward to even bring the guest speaker on, the guest, well, she is a speaker, a renowned speaker, and she does workshops as well. But before I bring her on, as always, I end up reading the scripture. And so the scripture that was brought to my remembrance this afternoon was Romans 5, and that's verses 3 through 5, and it reads, "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance helps develop strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." And so it is definitely a privilege to be loved by God. It is definitely an honor to know that God has left us here, the Holy Spirit, to be able to just guide us and strengthen us. As you think about how today's time is, and you see so many things that are happening, unfortunately, in this world that does not resemble godly life behavior, we have to take time out to remember that God is still in control. No matter what we see that is happening right now in the world with the racism, with discrimination, with police brutality, with the rallies and the protests, with political leaders maybe not standing up, with so much that is happening in the world, we have to not lose faith and lose hope. And that goes back to our love that we have for ourselves, the love that we have for one another, and most importantly, the love that God has for us, and knowing how much we love him. Love is such an easy word to say. It's only four letters, but it's definitely a hard word to act on. And to be able to witness love is probably one of the most phenomenal things to see and witness other people in love, but it's awesome to be able to be a part of the love movement. And so that is the hope with the Love Unleashed radio show, that we can move love into the world, unleash it into every city, unleash it into every home, unleash it even into every church. It is important that we get back to the basics. It's important that we start teaching people how to love one another. The Bible says that we are to love ourselves, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's very, very important. If we don't love ourselves, it's hard to be able to love our neighbor. And when you look into the world and you see how badly people are treating their neighbors, and that doesn't mean just the person that's standing next to them, that lives next to them, but the person, someone other than themselves, that is your neighbor. And if you treat or mistreat that person, then that in itself is an indication that there's a love problem happening within you. because we directly reflect how we love ourselves or how we feel about ourselves and how we treat other people. So test yourself. Look and see around you and your surroundings and determine if, in fact, you're walking in love or if you're walking in hatred. If every time you see a person, even if they're of a different color, and you get a certain feeling, and that feeling does not result in love and kindness and patience and understanding and any of those fruits that God has blessed us with, then you got to do a heart check, because it always goes back to your heart. And the matters of the heart are important, because it is the relationship with God, that's going to get us to our ultimate destiny, and that's eternal life. So I just wanted to make sure I said that this afternoon. Love is definitely the key. Love is definitely the most important common denominator that we all should have, no matter what our color is, no matter what our race is, no matter who we are in life, if we're poor or rich. Love in itself is just like the red blood, the blue blood that runs through our veins, and the red when oxygen hits it. It's just like that. Everyone has it. Everyone has a heart. Everyone has blood. It is all the same. Our DNA may not be the same, but we all have the same organs in order for us to be able to function in this world, and God did that. And so because he did that, it is important that we finally start walking in alignment and love and showing our brothers and sisters how important it is to put on love. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have a treat this afternoon. I have asked a very special woman to join us on this show, and that is Miss Erica Michelle. Now, Erica Michelle is a beloved coach and mentor to women all over the world. She offers fresh, out-of-the-box insights on how to breathe new life into their lives after suffering through a broken heart. She's affectionately known as the Broken Heart Specialist, a transformational author, and is most celebrated for being the rock, the shoulder to lean on, and the guide for women as they go through the grief and heartache of a broken relationship, showing them the way back to wholeness. Now, I could go on and read more about who Miss Erica Michelle is, but I want to bring her on so that we can have a very intimate, intellectual conversation with her, and we can start getting this talk on about love and loving yourself and just being who you are in Christ. So let me check to see if Miss Erica Michelle is on the line. And if she is, we're going to go ahead and have her come on. Miss Erica, are you there? All right, well, we're going to give her a few moments to get on the radio show. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, praise the Lord. I'm so grateful to have you. And I appreciate the fact that you've taken time out. I know that there is a time difference. And so even though it's 6 o'clock here, it's not 6 o'clock where you are. And I love the fact that because this show reaches not just in our area, but it reaches all over, and that we're reaching out to women and just leaders, stalwarts, all over, so that people can understand that love is being unleashed all over the place. And I can tell you, sister, you are one of those women that are not just talking the talk, but you are walking the walk. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. I truly appreciate that. How are you today?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm a little under the weather. I'm a little hoarse, but you know, God is gracious. You know, He gives us everything we need in order to move forward. So He knew I needed just enough breath to sing this morning in the choir, and He knew I needed just enough breath to have these conversations this afternoon. So I'm sure when we're done, He's going to sit me down and tell me to be quiet somewhere. So I don't want to delay anything. I would love for you to just start off with sharing with, you know, about yourself. I know I read just a little bit about your, you know, who you are, but it's nothing like you telling us, you know, what, you know, who is Erica Michelle?
Yes. Well, you know, I like to first make it clear to everyone when I, you know, speak or if I'm a guest, whatever role I'm playing at the time, that I am first a servant. I'm a daughter of God who decided to make the decision to say yes. And so with that being said, if that clears it all, that is who I am. Because without all of the other, you know, titles and roles that we play, I'm nothing without Him. So that's who I am. I am a servant of God who made a decision to say yes.
Amen. And you know what? It's very important that we all take on that attitude that we are first and foremost the servant of God, especially if we say that we are in the kingdom and in the business of building the kingdom of God here on earth. You know, it's important that we keep that in mind. So I appreciate your humility and just being ready and able to say yes. You know, some people are not, they may be called, but they still don't say yes. So we appreciate your yes, okay? So,
thank you.
And yes, you are a servant of God, but if why don't you share with me what you do? I did talk about, you know, you're being the broken heart specialist, but give the listeners a little bit more intimate details about the broken heart specialist. So we want them to know. We don't just have anybody on the show.
Yes, and you know, I'm honored. Hello again, everyone. My name is Erica Michelle. To the women that I serve in my community and abroad, I am affectionately known as DT Rector, advice to you guys as the broken heart specialist. And a lot of times people ask me, well, Erica, where did that come from? You know, how did that title come about? Well, for those who don't know my story, a little bit about almost now 3 years ago, I went through a divorce, and the divorce was really, I would say I went through trauma through this divorce. And as I began to go through this divorce, I began to speak to God and just really share with Him my true naked heart. You know, like I just allowed Him to see all that I was bearing. And in that, He and I began to, you know, just talk through the word and through, you know, prayer, that it was time for me to truly go through a transformation, not the thing I would call healing in my past, where I would give Him only what I thought, you know, He should have. But this time He required me to give Him everything, all the broken pieces. And so that took me on a 1-year sabbatical where I disconnected from everything, social media. Basically, it was the basic living, if you would say, work and home. And all through that, God really did a transformation in my life where He was able to heal back to childhood. And so fast forward with that, as I was going through the last part of the sabbatical, one of the my prayers to God was, God, when You bring me through this, I would, you know, go back and reach back for my sisters, those that I knew and did not know, but I knew, you know, by the heart that they too was functioning, as what I call it, as a broken heart hearted woman, living life as if we're whole, but behind the closed doors, we're merely broken pieces. And so that's how the Broken Heart Specialist came about. He reminded me that every woman that comes into your contact will always be sent through me. And so he gave me a quick analogy, if I can share. He shared with me how my doctor is my physician, and he's the first person I go and see. Even if there's something wrong that doesn't fit in his qualifications, I have to go through him first, and then he will send me, outsource me to a specialist, right, of whatever kind. And that's what God wanted to remind me, that when you get out here and begin to do what I'm going to ask you to do, remember always that first me and then you. And so that's how we came up with the Broken Heart Specialist, because God is the physician. You know, he heals all the broken hearts, but he will send his children, if you would say, that says yes to do the work that he needs us to do. And so that's how that came about. And that's pretty much, you know, a fast forward version of the Broken Heart Specialist.
Well, you know what? It's amazing. God is amazing. You know, he knows every situation that we're going to face, and he knows exactly who he needs to build up, who he needs to train, who he needs to send out. And so the mere fact that God had allowed you to be broken and then presented the opportunity for you to present your broken pieces to him in order for him to show you who he is, and then send you back out there to show other women exactly who God is. I think that is just amazing how he works like that, you know, because he really doesn't need us. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, he really doesn't need us, but he wants us, and he has a desire for us to be so in love with him that we would be willing to do whatever it takes to be able to add to his kingdom. So I tip my hat off to you in that in that endeavor. And, you know, as we continue with this conversation, you know, being the love, the broken heart specialist, and knowing that broken heart has everything to do with love. Broken heart has everything to do with love, but love on very different levels. You know, there are times when people say they love you, you know, but that is something that someone else is saying to you. But if you don't love yourself, you know, most of the time you cannot even register or even receive the love. And so I use that as an example of how many people are walking around when they read the Word of God and it says that God loves us, but because there's a disconnect with the fact of truly understanding what love is, they can't grasp the concept or even receive the love because there's a disconnect. So I want you to be able to talk to us about that disconnect and how that led you into, you have this workbook and, you know, and now you're just on a quest of, I mean, you mentioned that you're on, you know, you're going back and you're helping other women, but you're doing some awesome things. And
Thank you.
A believer that God prepares us. You're welcome. God prepares us for our next season. He doesn't prepare us for the season that we're in. You know, he prepares us for our next season. And so everything that you went through the previous season was to help you in the season that you're in now. So talk to us about that and talk to us about this love thing. Talk to us.
Yeah. So this was an awesome thing because you hit on something that I like to talk about a lot. And, you know, when people seek me out, you know, to for whatever reason, you know, I make sure that I put out, you know, immediately. This is I said, you know, I'm not a relationship coach as far as a woman and a man. I make that very clear at the beginning. I am a relationship coach as it relates to a woman learning how to love herself, because I am a firm believer that until you know how to love you, there is no one in existence that you truly can love. Now, the love I'm talking about, it is not this a love that's conditional. I'm talking about the unconditioned, with no conditions, whether you're in a good mood, a bad mood, whether you look good or you don't, whether you feel good or you don't, you love yourself. You can, you know, you can look in the mirror and say, girl, you know, this is not my best day, but I love me. And see, I didn't learn how to truly love myself until I went through that sabbatical. Because how I know that is what I did was I loved based on how I love myself, you know, moody, and if I felt like talking to you, and if I don't, I didn't. And that was the same thing that I, you know, portrayed in my own life, but not realizing it until God really began to expose some things. So one of the things that I have to make, you know, clear from the beginning when I work with the women I work with, I say, listen, this thing, this love journey that we're going to, you know, take together, it's going to take work, because what we do is we go, like you said, how God doesn't prepare us for where we are. He prepares us for where we're going. So this journey we're on, we actually have to go back, because we need to find out what is the seed that has been sown into your life that prevents you from loving you. Well, Erica, why you sound love me? I love me. I go here. I do this. I dress nice. But love is, the love I'm talking about is internal, right? Because when you love yourself, you don't let people treat you any kind of way. And what I mean treat you any kind of way, I'm talking about staying in abusive relationships, whether they're verbal, mental, physical. You know, I've been there. I haven't been in a physical, but verbally he was abusive. You know, mentally he tried to keep me hostage. And that takes me to the workbook, my one-year sabbatical. My one-year sabbatical was merely me journaling for that 1 year, where it was just God, me and God, and I journaled. And I never thought that he would take my mess and actually turn it into a message. So in this, as I am with the women on this journey of finding out why do I allow myself to go through this? Why do I, you know, cheat myself out of this? Why do I settle for this? All of those things are indications that your love walk needs to be intensified, if that makes sense, right? And so, you know, so as we begin to take this journey, my suggestion to them is to journal. Journal while on the journey is what I say, because when what journaling will do for you, it allows you to go back and recap. It allows you to go back and reflect. It allows you to go back and research and really seek, like, did I write that? What was I going through? You know how when we were growing up as little girls, we write everything in those diaries. Well, I've done that since I was little, and reflection will show you what's in you when you don't even see what's in you, right? And so that's the kind of thing that we do. So my one-year sabbatical is an interactive workbook that was created not from somebody just telling me to write. It was my own journey. And I write in the front of that book, I said, you know, I thought this was for me, for them. But when God used me to write that, it really was for me. Like, it really gave me an eye-opener of, wow, look at the process. And this is the second thing, and I'm going to be done with this section. What I also learned through this one-year sabbatical where God, you know, required me to disconnect and reconnect to him, I learned even more that healing is a process. And just because your girlfriend and your mom and them say, get over him, get over it, get over daddy, get over the hurt, it does not work that way. If you keep getting over stuff, what happens if you keep walking over the load of clothes? Next week you put some more, you walk over the load of clothes. Next week you put some more. It don't go away. It keeps piling up. Keep piling up to you like, oh, my God, I got to stop and I got to wash these clothes because you done ran out of clothes. Well, that's the same thing. When you keep piling that stuff up in the hurt and the pain and the rejection and all of these things that you carry, you don't have room to love. You don't have a place in your life to love. You don't even love you anymore. So, you know, that's what I want women to know. Healing is a process. And if you're willing to go through the process, I promise you, when you're done with my one-year sabbatical, you will have a blueprint that you can apply to all of those other broken areas for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Well, you know, that was a wonderful visual that you gave about the clothes and how it ties up, and we step over those clothes, and it's just like getting over something, you know, and it and that was awesome. And you think about that, you know, how we allow that stuff to clutter our minds and our souls, and that it was so weighted down that we don't, I think in, we both were in a part of the book compilation, The Groove Never Stops, Intensify, Stories of Intense Determination. And in my chapter, I even talked about how it was a common practice of mine to avoid things. It was a common practice that I, when something hurt me, that I deluded myself to believe that I was fighting by being quote unquote strong, which meant get over it, but not deal with it. And so I didn't realize that I had not dealt with a lot of things until another hurt took place from someone else, and it took me back to that time where I was first hurt in that way. And so it's definitely important that as women, and I can't speak about men, but I think that it is across the board. I think that, though, as women, we have a responsibility to ourselves that we find ways to be able to heal from hurts. Even though it may take us through a season of pain, but pain is just an indication that there's an area that just needs, that there's an area that's exposed. And that's, and in that exposing, God is saying, hand it over, and then I will take on the rest. And that's the part that we have to teach, you know. Don't avoid the pain. Pain is just an indication of what you need to do next. And so sometimes what we do is we just go the opposite direction. We numb the pain. We can numb the pain by doing so many different things. But even I'm not a drinker, and I don't do drugs. I'm not a drinker. But there are people who do drink, and they may smoke or whatever, you know. But I'm not even talking about chemically doing that. You know, we even give ourselves over to other men as a way of numbing the pain, avoiding feeling certain emotions. So we think that we're in control over our lives by offering ourselves to other people because, you know, that is what helps us to numb. And I'm only speaking from experience of a lifetime of avoidance of pain. And so as you have gone through this journey, God took me on that journey, and he exposed that. He had me to expose my wounds. And so, and then he said, turn it over. And as you said, you know, he said, I don't want them just one piece. I want all of them. And as God revealed to me, and I think I talked about this 2 weeks ago, but God revealed to me that, you know, we were whole when he formed us.
We obviously
need to return back to him. But even if we return back to him with the broken pieces, because he is the only one that knows how to put you back together, you have to return to him with all the pieces so that he can do that. So I think it's remarkable that over this 1 year that God took those broken pieces and in that area of your life, and he mended that back together. So my next question to you is this. So how has that in itself, since you said it started with you, although you thought that the mission was to write this for someone else, and God turned that around and said, no, this is about you. Isn't that how he does? He's like, you can be helping other people. But, you know, I heard a pastor tell me this one time. He said, you haven't preached a message until you lived it. So he had you live this thing out. So what was the next step after that? You know, after you wrote the book, after you wrote the workbook, and you were able to come out and you're a new creature, there's still that period where I don't know if it was a scary feeling, if it's an anxious feeling, but it's more exposed and more transparent. I want you to talk about that.
So it's funny that you say that because, you know, growing up, I grew up in a home, and I mentioned this in my workbook, where, you know, my mom was a single mother for many years, and she was a great mom, but there were certain rules in our home, and one of those rules was, well, go in this house, stay in this house, and so I grew up hearing that. So what that was for me was, it was my way, I took those words and I applied them in the way that I knew she didn't mean it this way, but I began to apply that in my life. So that's how I was able to live as some people would call it masking, or God gave me, a different term. And it's the functioning broken-hearted woman, where you learn how to function. And, you know, if you think about a functioning alcoholic or a functioning drug addict or a functioning sex, you know, addicted person, they can go to work, they can have friends, they can have relationships, and you would never know, right? Because everything they do, it's behind, if you would say. It's behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. So I live that way as if I was this, I had it all together. You know, I was a minister in a church. I worked with children. I worked with finances. I held, you know, event. I mean, all of these things, but inside I was broken. So when God said, okay, we're going to take your mess and make it a message, you know, I'm like, oh, no. I wanted to go convert back to the, I can share the pieces I want, right? God said, no, that's not how this is going to work. No, it's all or nothing. And so, of course, you know, you go in your mind, you're thinking, you know, okay, people are going to judge me. You know, oh, my God, they're going to get to know what really happened. You know, for a long time, I'm going to be honest with you, for a long time, my workbook is you can buy through Amazon. You can buy through Barnes & Noble, and it's another bookstore, but I never advertised it, right? The only way you could buy it was through me, my website. And it was almost my way of saying, I can dictate who get this book, right? And so, you know, I went through those stages, and, you know, until one day I had got a call from, a message, an email, and then it converted to a call. And it was from a male. And he said, you know, someone bought the book, and somehow he got the book. And so he said, and I wanted to personally say to you that, you know, this book for him was life-changing. Oh. So if it was life-changing for him, that it would be life-changing for women everywhere, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm freaking out in my brain. Like, this man got a hold of my book. And so long story short, I believe that was my breaking point where I, you know, finally made up in my mind, Erica, you know, this, now it converts to say, this story is about you. It was about you, but it's not for you. So now it was God saying, it's about you, but now it's for the women that you wrote it for. Like I got to a point where finally it was no longer about me and for me. And so, you're fearful. And I was fearful. I was fearful. I was fearful what people who knew me, you know, way before this time, what they would say. And if this ex-husband, if somebody that I knew that he knew would get this work, you know, it was all kind of thoughts until I finally realized that, you know what, God, you gave me this. You gave me all of this to write. You allowed me. You didn't put me through it, but you allowed me to go through it for this season, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to share it, and I'm going to be okay with whatever comes with it. And so it's just been liberating when I made that decision that I'm going to let it be what it is, and it's been so liberating to hear the testimonies of women, you know, that responds and send me comments and say thank you notes and, you know, and all of those great things. Those things liberate you even more.
Well, I will just say I think that in itself is a testament to how awesome this workbook is, that a male
would actually reach out to you and say, hey, the women need this book, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that that was just affirmation and confirmation from God to push you a little further. Say, hey, I didn't have you do all of this to waste it. You know, God mm-hmm. uses everything. And it's amazing how we, even in ministry, we love to try to control what what we
mm-hmm.
do in ministry and
mm-hmm.
control what God blesses us with. Well, okay, God, you can bless me here, but don't bless me here. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't, I'm not going to let people see me blessed here. And what we have to truly understand, and this is for those who are listening and for those who will be listening in the future to this, because it will be rebroadcasted. When you are blessed by God, yes, you are a recipient of what God has for you, but those blessings are not just yours, because
mm-hmm.
people need to see God blessing you. That's how God is glorified on the earth. People need to see the movement of God in your life in order for them to believe sometimes. You know, unfortunately,
yes.
the truth is that there are doubting Thomases all over the place. There are people all over the place that doubt, you know, if God's going to move in this area, if God's going to do this. And so it takes for him to bless one of his children for them to say, oh, yes, I need my strength and my faith has been strengthened just by watching your testimony be lived out. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a scary place to be as a recipient of being blessed. I do know that. But it's definitely a great feeling, you know, a great feeling. And that word says, lean not to thy own understanding. I think that's Proverbs 3:6. But in all ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so God in this book, and I'm just unleashing that a little bit further, God in this book, I just pray over your book, Erica, that this will go to another level, that God will take you to uncharted territories, that women in other countries will receive this message, that this message is not just a word for your community or even your circle, but it is beyond your circle. Because
yes.
I believe strongly that if it's throughout the Bible, God speaks about love. Love is the important key, and that was the greatest commandment, was that to love God with all of
yes.
our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our mind. And so
yes.
because of the greatest commandment, we have a responsibility to share love, but people have to see the love. And if we
mm-hmm.
are not loving ourselves, how in the world can we love our neighbors? The scripture says,
mm-hmm.
love thy neighbors as you love thyself. But if you can't love yourself, then
yes.
then you have no way of loving our neighbors. And that's the key to healing this nation. That's the key to healing this world. So I am praying and prophesying over your work, and I'm believing that God will divide and multiply, subtract, whatever it is that needs to happen. But there will never be an ounce of lack amongst this project, amongst the people who you're going to touch, and that every
yes.
provision that needs to be made will be met, because he is the provider. And we know and we believe that God is greater than the things that we can see. So whatever
yes.
the vision God gave you, Erica,
thank you.
For this book is
yes.
multiplied, it's tripled, it's beyond
thank
what you
God.
Can see. And so I'm receiving that for you, and I'm putting that out there in the atmosphere, and I'm standing with you in agreement that this thing is going to another level.
Thank you.
But before we wrap up this part of the our conversation, I just want you to just briefly talk about your retreat that you just came off
yeah.
of, the
fabulous
yeah. retreat. That I was not able to attend, but I will definitely be there next year. But I want you to talk about that, because I want you to get the women riled up for next year.
Yes. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you even allowing me to share your platform. I truly know, you know, what it's like to have a burning desire down deep down inside, and you're like, God, how is this going to happen? Well, that's pretty much how the retreat came about. And the retreat is a women's retreat. I'm worth the wait. And when God initially gave that to me, this time last year, God gave that to me. I'm like, God, you know, that's a title that people use for singles or those who are absent, you know, sustaining from, you know, sleeping together. You talk to the children and the women, the young girls and the boys, and you tell them to wait. And then he took me to the Bible and he changed my whole thought process about I'm worth the wait. He said, you know, I want my daughters to know that they are worthy and that although they've gone through hell and high water, I think that they're worth the wait. And so I want them to know that I have not forgotten about them, that promise, that dream, the purpose I have put before them. It is in the spirit waiting for them. And what he showed me and helped me to understand, God deals with me a lot with analogies. Like, you know, Jesus always used, you know, parables, but God deals with me with analogies. And he showed me, he said, listen, I spoke to your beginning, to your end in the beginning in that scripture. And what I mean by that is everything for your life was spoken before you became even a seed in your mother's womb. And so because I spoke it, it shall be. And so he began to tell me, he said, but because I work on time, and that's what we talk about seasons, he said, purpose until, you know, the season is for the purpose and the promise to collide together, then you continue to stay in the process. So the purpose and promise is going to collide, but you got to go through the process. And so that's how I'm Worth the Wait Women's Retreat came about. And I tell you, it was, I went through a process. I lived it out. And that's why it came to birth, not because I had everything in line, not because I had the money, not because I had people knocking down the doors to get to the street, but because I said, God, I'm going to go through the process that the promise he had and the purpose of this eventually collided together, which was July 8th through the 10th. And then as I was in that, he began to speak to me. He said, now next year, 2007, I'm Worth the Wait Women's Retreat will be the mother and daughter edition. And we got to get these mothers and daughters together, whether it's an elderly mother and then, you know, a daughter, or if a mother and her child, however, we got to get them together, because there's some things that mothers need to share with their daughters, and there's some things that daughters need to share with their mother and let them know that, you know, you are worthy of the wait, and no matter what you've gone through, you keep on waiting on God. You keep on trusting in God. You keep on standing in God. And so that's what I'm Worth the Wait is all about. It's about purpose and promise and God taking us through the process. So I'm excited, again, that he chose me, you know, as a vessel, and it's not about me. It's all about him, but I'm just the vessel that's seeing it to come to pass.
Amen. Well, so they have to look forward to next year. Will it be around the same time next year?
It will, yes. It's going to be instead of the 8th through the 10th, it's the 7th. Through the 9th, it's in Destin, Florida. The website is still up. It's not updated, but I will, if you don't mind, I can give the website and they can keep checking in until we get it updated with the 2017 information. But it's imworththewaitretreat.com. imworththewaitretreat.com, and that's where we'll be updating everything. But again, those dates is July the 7th through the 9th in Destin, Florida, and it's going to be amazing.
And yes, it is, and I'm just looking forward to it. I really am, and I enjoy one of the things that God, it takes a lot to really understand what your purpose and the plan that God has for your life, and being able to just get a peek into what God's vision is for you. And when God reveals that, you have no choice but to move in it. And so one of the things that God called me to be is a builder in the kingdom, and that's to build up women, to help them to become entrepreneurs or to become the best moms they want to be, to become whatever it is that they want to be. My goal is, my responsibility is to help build them up so that they can do that.
And so because of that, I have to go and be a part of, first of all, to stand with my sister and to just encourage her, even though she's a strong woman of God, praise the Lord, I just want to be in the room to support you.
Yes.
And also to be there because I know that there's always something that God has in store for me. And I teach my kids this one thing, and I think that we as humans, we as believers need to take this on, that whenever you walk into a room, you don't walk in thinking and believing you know everything, but you walk into a room knowing nothing, expecting something. And so I go always with the expectation that God is going to reveal something to me, and I am anticipating that next year, during that week, God is going to reveal something to me, and I want to be in position for that to happen. So I know we have just a few more moments left with you. This time has gone by so quickly, but I still wanted to ask you about your movement, Girl, I See You movement. I just want to get this word out because what you're doing is some marvelous things, and it really is all, you're not just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. Love is an action. And so the project that you have going on, it's not about you. It's about other people. And so I want you to talk and share a little bit about the Girl I See You movement, and then you have a few minutes to say whatever it is that you like and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you after we are done today. Erica, I hope we didn't lose her. All right, so if Erica, she may be having difficulty because she is a little far away from me, but she may call back in. But I wanted to just put my spin to this love thing, this love talk. And what's most important about the love talk is that that we have to start loving ourselves in order for love to take place. Erica, you there?
Yes, I do apologize for that. Yes, I was going to say really quick, as you were saying, to share, I just wanted to say thank you again because what you are doing now is going to change the lives of women all across the world, and preferably that men will grab a hold of this show that you're doing. Because until we truly identify and be able to know what love is, we're going to keep on what I call the recycle. And so it goes on to our children and their children and their children. And so I just wanted to say thank you for the show. Thank you for your ministry that you're doing and how you're serving women. And so I just wanted to say that really quick because I don't want to forget that. And so let me just share really quick with the listeners. The Girl I See You movement is actually just what my sister said. It's about other people. So one of the things that I realized is that when you begin to do ministry or you do entrepreneurship or even being a mom or going back to school, such as myself at the age of 40, it can seem lonely sometimes. And I would always be conversating with God, God, where you at? Because I don't see you in this. And he would joke back with me in my mind. I would hear him say, girl, I see you. What's really going on? Like, I see you. And so one day I was talking to God. I said, God, if I'm feeling this way, then I know there's other women feeling this way. And so it started out as a campaign where we did the 31 days of prayer for her. And we didn't pray for ourselves. We prayed for our sisters in different areas of their lives for 31 days. And then I got the word from God. He said, this is not just a campaign. This is a movement. And this movement will go, abroad, and this is how you're going to do it. And he started giving me all of these instructions and downloading, and then he confirmed it. Someone that I didn't even know past Facebook, they sent me a message just saying thank you for the 31 days of prayer and how it helped her to redevelop her relationship with God. But as she was finishing, she said, I just wanted to tell you that when I was praying for you, that God told me that this would be a movement. And I couldn't say anything to her because God had already said it to me, but we have three core values that the Girl I See You has been built on and will continue to build on, and it's celebrating women. We have to learn how to authentically celebrate each other. Get out of the mirror that everything is about you. Celebrate. Motivate each other and educate. If I got some knowledge and you need some knowledge, why can't I give you what I know? I'm not saying don't pour into yourself. I believe in self-development now. I spend money in self-development to make sure that I'm the best coach, that I'm the best mom, that I'm the best me, I'm the best on whatever it is I'm doing. But why can't we help each other? And so that's the three core values we're built on. 2017, we're going to be going strong with our monthly mentions, where we're going to be speaking to women, highlighting women, and then we're going to have our 2017 Girl, I See You Now Walk in Your Purpose Conference. So it's different things that's coming. But if you want to know more about Erica Michelle, feel free to find me on Facebook. My business page is His Masterpiece. If you want to go to Twitter, it's His Masterpiece. Instagram is His Masterpiece with the number one. And my website is ericamichellespeaks.com.
That is so awesome. I'm so excited that I had you on this
Thank
show,
you.
And I appreciate the fact that you just spoke some wonderful things about the show. You know, to God be the glory. Everything that is being done is to glorify God and bring
yes.
glory to his name. And so I'm just privileged to be able to say that I'm walking with my sister as she's on her task, on her assignment. We're both on assignment. And
yes.
so with that being said, you know, because you're in New Orleans still, right?
Yeah, the Louisiana
yes.
area.
And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that so people know that she
yes.
is in New Orleans. And I'm in Washington, D.C. area, so you
yes.
know we are doing some great things. And so we
yes.
are looking to take Love Unleashed all over. So we're going to be
yes.
taking the show, like, to other people's conferences. We're going to go live on air and interview people that way. And so
yes.
definitely just keep me updated and in the loop. And
yes.
we'll bring this Love Unleashed to your city, you know. It's
yes.
important. We have to build up,
mm-hmm.
and building up and change starts with us. We can't just
yes.
talk about stuff. We got to be about that life. And I'm not being ghetto when I say it. I'm saying we really, truly have to be about the life and the life of living a Christian, of being a Christian. So,
yeah.
Erica, the time is drawing near, and
yes.
I just truly am appreciative that you are Oh, you were on the call. I know you took some time out, and God bless
yes,
you for it.
Perfect.
I send you forward as you walk into your purpose. And I know
yes.
that there's so many things in store for you in all areas of your life, and I'm
Thank
smiling
you.
With that. I'm smiling with that, but. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go, but thank you so much for joining us. And
yes,
thank
you.
Anytime you want to come back on, please just don't hesitate, and we'll definitely make time to put you on. And this actual message will replay, and I'm hoping we can get that replay for next week so that we can make sure that this conversation is being broadcasted to other people. It is important for
yes.
them to know, you know, self. The journey to finding self love is probably
yes.
the number one important thing in order to even love and experience love in other people. So thank
yes.
you.
Thank you. You have a blessed day, and thank you for your listening audience as well.
All right. God bless.
God bless you.
And so, you know, there we have it with Ms. Erica Michelle. I have to say I enjoyed this conversation. I enjoy all of the guests that we have on the show. I do appreciate the fact that God has orchestrated and designed this show to be able to crack the walls, the windows, whatever it is, the glass windows, whatever that's built up in between man to man, woman to woman, heart to heart, hand to hand, whatever that's preventing us from sharing and to just loving one another, that God is basically doing what he says he's going to do. He's building a kingdom of believers to go out and to deliver the word, to deliver the good news. And the good news is that God is still in control, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that we can have eternal life. And so we have a little bit more time left in the show, but I wanted to just wrap up with this key thing, and that is that it's very important that we love God, and that loving God allows us to love ourselves. Some people spend their lifetime searching and chasing love, but it all goes back to the most important thing, and that is if God is not in the center, if God is not in the middle, then there is no foundation. Everything else will crumble. God's love is unconditional, unlike man. We must learn to the strategies of love, and not just learning to love, but we need to do it. You know, we can't just say, I'm learning to love. No, we have to now go from being learners to actually doing that which we say that we're learning. Because if we're always just a student and never a participant in life applying what we've learned, then what we're learning is just being learned in vain. And because God commanded us, he commanded us in the scripture, and I can tell you it is in Matthew 22 and verse 36 through 40. But basically he is commanding us that we, that scripture reads, it says that Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means that everyone is called to do this, and so it is everyone's responsibility to teach what love is all about. Today we talked about loving ourselves. Today we talked about how important it is that we not step over the hurt and the broken pieces, but we actually take time to pick up those broken pieces and return them back to the one who created us, because only he is the one that knows where to put those pieces. We don't know because we didn't make ourselves. We didn't form us. The Bible says that God created us and formed us. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And I think about maybe 4 weeks ago, I had even reminded the listening audience that even God had revealed to me that he had called me, and he had called each one of us long before we were actually birthed into the world, and that it is at our birthing time when we forget our calling. And so we spend a lifetime chasing and looking for things to find importance, but truly God loved us from the beginning. He loved us from the inside out. And so if we can truly return back to God and return back to the fold and start to learn who God is and what his intent is for our lives, we will be a better people. It is time. This Love Unleashed show is about to wrap up. You can go to hashtag IAmLoveUnleashed and go ahead and post, you know, one thing that you will love yourself about and what you're giving up and what broken piece you may have picked up and turned back to God. But you can reach out to us at www.IamLoveUnleashed.com for advertising, for anything about this show. Just go to that website or reach out on Facebook, Love Unleashed. And I want to leave you with this scripture, as always, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It's about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Love Unleashed show. I love you. Until next week.